Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us to once again get back into your word. Help us now as we continue to study on this word, education, so that we can truly get an education from your word. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word education, let's pick it up here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we know that 2 Timothy is the last letter, it's believed, that Paul wrote before getting his head cut off by Nero. And we see here some instructions concerning those that are out there that are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And cautions for us as well that we find in this. And a re-emphasis on the trustworthy of the scriptures. What we truly need to be educated about is the Word of God. But let's get right into that now. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Don't be partakers with the ungodly out there. And he gave a good list here of the behaviors of the ungodly. We see a lot of this all around us today. We see this on the increase worldwide. And as he says there, the closer we get to those last days, the more we're going to see this. Perilous times. And that part there about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They pretend or try to convince others and even themselves that what they are doing is the right thing to do. And they look down at good and lift up evil. But that's what we find today. Let's continue here in verse 6. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." He keeps mentioning lust, those selfish, lustful desires. He's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow, we sure see a lot of that going on today. These so-called educated folks who got their degrees that get their little initials and everything put on their names, but they clearly do not know the truth. They haven't come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They haven't come to the knowledge of truth. They've come to an acquisition of information, and then they get their certificate because they acquired information. But was that information lies or was it truth? It doesn't do you any good to spend your entire life studying and studying and studying, getting all the accreditation for having this diploma, that diploma, this degree, that degree. If all you've done your entire life is study a bunch of lies, what good is that? No good whatsoever. So focus on understanding and learning the truth, not the lies of the world. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So where can this truth be found? Where can we get the kind of education that is of great value? You hear the use of the IQ, the intelligence quantity test. But they ought to alter that and be an intelligence quality test. The intelligence that you have, the information that you've acquired, is it any count? Or is it completely worthless because it's all a pack of lies? The truth can be found in the Word of God. The truth and true wisdom comes from God. And that's why we've gone through this entire study here on the word education. The education that we can receive from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Ghost, from studying His Word. That's the truth. That's where you need to spend your time studying, is studying the truth, not the lies. As it continues, it gives an example here. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now in verse 10 here he gets into talking directly to Timothy, as well as we can learn from this also, of the experiences of Paul, what he went through. You can go back and look in the writings of Paul and in the book of Acts and see Paul had quite a journey. He had quite the persecution, quite the obstacles, quite the challenge. His entire life as a Christian was just littered with persecutions. And he gets into some of that here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Note, he's given God credit for getting him out of all those problems, to seeing him through all of those persecutions, all those afflictions. The Lord was right there with him, helping him go through it. Each and every one of those was a different opportunity for him to reach others and for him to grow closer and closer to the Lord, stronger and stronger in his faith and trust in the Lord, just as we can do as well. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everything isn't going to be great and wonderful and pleasant and easy. No way. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be some opportunities in those challenges to grow stronger and stronger and to be able to bring honor and glory to the Lord, be able to reach others within that situation that you're in. As he continues, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's one of the things you've got to acknowledge and admit and receive and actually embrace. The fact that you will be served up a lot of persecutions. You will suffer a lot of persecutions as a Christian because the devil is going to do more and more against you. The more and more you try to do for the Lord, the more the devil is going to try to do against you. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The closer we get to the rapture, the more and more we're going to see this happening. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. A very important part there. Who are you listening to? Who are your instructors? Who's your preacher, your pastor? What are the sources that you turn to? Where do you go to find out information? Do you turn to an unreliable source, or do you turn to reliable sources, true sources? And we see the truth in the Word of God. We hear the truth from the Lord. We can be taught directly by the Holy Ghost. But there's also other individuals out there that the Lord has available to us that we can access some of their experiences, just like Paul is displaying here, teaching Timothy. You can look at Paul's life and see an awesome testimony. So if there's other individuals out there that you know, that you've seen, that you've dealt with, that you can look up to and say, now that was a God-glorifying person. And then you can go to them and you can learn from them, from their experiences, from what they have recorded, from the testimonies, from other people that have talked about them, their lives, and learn from that. But don't make the mistake of ever lifting up anybody above Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how wonderful a preacher is, a pastor is, a teacher is, an evangelist is, a missionary, or whoever you're listening to or looking up to, always keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the one that will never let you down. Verse 14 again, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, speaking specifically to Timothy there, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. So what is the qualifying factor to determine whether something is Scripture or not? It's whether it is inspired of God. Whether the writing of that was directed by God, or the God inspired that individual to write that down to be able to share it with others, that makes it a Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now we here use the 1769 translation, which is the King James Version, the authorized King James Version of the Bible, also identified as the 1611. But in the 1769, it's got the spelling a little easier to understand and so forth. But basically, we trust in the preserved Word of God. If you have a different translation in another language, then that's fine. If you have a different translation that you feel comfortable using, that's fine, as long as you pray about it. You pray for an understanding of the Word of God. So when you're reading it, no matter what translation it is, whatever language it is, if you're really praying about it and understanding of what the Lord wants to communicate to you from His Word, He will give you what you need to know at that time. So take confidence in that. The Lord's going to see you through the challenge of being able to learn His Word. Apply it in the right way. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, that's the truth. It can be found in the Word of God and from the Lord directly. For reproof. That's when you want to analyze something. You want to test something. You can bounce it off of the Word of God and see if it's something that you need to be involved in or not involved in. See if it's something you can believe or not believe. Whether it is truth or whether it is false. By testing it by the Word of God. These for correction. That's that guidelines that we need. For instruction in righteousness, once again, gives us the understanding of how we need to behave, how we need to walk, how we need to talk, how we need to relate with others, and how we need to relate to the Lord. And verse 17 wraps it up real well with this, that the man of God, man or woman, of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This word perfect here means thoroughly furnished. To have everything that you need in order to do the task the Lord has in store for you to do. To be fully educated. How do you do that? By studying the Word and praying. The Holy Ghost will teach you, and you'll be able to study His Word and understand His Word and apply it in the right way. Then you'll be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right, let's roll on over into Titus. And Titus is another young protege that Paul was teaching to be a pastor. And in Titus chapter 2, we can see here, like I say, Paul teaching Titus. As it reads, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Here he's giving us the instruction. We need to be saying and teaching and sharing the truth. Not to just the fluffing stuff, build you up, pat you on the back, send you out the door, sermons and lessons. No, sound doctrine. Something solid that you can build upon. The truth that can be found in the Word of God and that comes from the Lord. Need to speak that, teach that, hang on to that. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober. Sober. Not a bunch of drunks, stoned on whatever. And keep your mind clear. Because you can have your mind drunken in ways that doesn't take a chemical to do it. Because you can get so messed up on false teachings and so forth. that you're no longer sober-minded. So that sobriety there is extended beyond just chemical influence on the mind. It can also be other influences. So keep your mind clear. How can you do that? By turning it over completely to the Lord. He'll give you a new mind. Let ye aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Showing us here, through these directions that Paul's teaching to Titus, that the elderly have a responsibility to share the experiences that they had in their lives with the younger folks. It's an awesome opportunity. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Note, the elderly teaching the younger folks. Because the older folks have more years of experience to tap into, to look back at. They say experience is the best teacher, and especially when you can learn off the experiences of someone else. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's a very important point right there that we can learn here, is to control that tongue, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Think before you speak, so that your words cannot be used against you in a way. As he says, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, this talking about servants, this at the time, there were situations where there were what you would call today slaves. You had servants and you had bond servants. In a bond servant situation, they were bound by a debt, and they had to work in order to pay that debt off. And sometimes they wound up being, their whole life was bound to somebody in what we would call slavery today. So how can we relate to this today if you're not in that kind of a bond servant situation? Sad to say that it still does exist in the world today. But most folks could relate this to having a contract with someone, a financial contract and agreement with someone that you're going to do a service for a set amount of money or for a set amount of time. Or if you're employed, employer and employee relationship, you could apply that to this as well. And if you're in a situation where you are an employee, that you need to be doing a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, not to be cheating your employer, but way too often that happens. And it also goes to the employers not to be cheating the employees. So we got to apply that both ways. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what we need to strive for. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So verse 15 there is wrapping it up, as we need to teach these things. We need to share these things. We need to help others know that they need to be living God-glorifying lives. And you can learn how to be God-glorifying by studying His Word and listening to the Holy Ghost. All right, now let's turn on over to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Here he's addressing a situation that was going on where you have folks that have been in the family of God long enough to where they should have already reached a certain level of maturity and knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. But it's sad to say, way too many times people get a little bit lazy and they don't do the proper study or don't retain what they've been taught, as he addresses here in verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. And that's a situation that we find way too often, like I say, is people that have been a Christian long enough to where they should have already reached a point where they were capable of teaching someone else. But yet they are still immature, still babes, still in the need of milk rather than the solid foods. Verse 12 again. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, but he is a babe. Still just a child, all the years that they've been a Christian, but haven't really grown. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we need to continually be maturing, growing. And you do that by understanding and by studying the Word of God. The more and more you study it, the more and more you understand, and the more and more you can apply, and the more and more you grow as a Christian. And that's the key thing he's pointing out there, is that there are some out there that have been a Christian for a while, but yet they still need to be taught the simple things. They're still feeding on the milk instead of the strong meats. All right, now let's turn on over to 2 Peter, where we can learn quite a bit here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. A letter to the Christians, basically what he's talking to here. His grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That knowledge, that understanding, that knowing Jesus Christ and having that relationship, that's the kind of education that we all need, to have that understanding of Jesus Christ as our Lord. According to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. See, over and over he's talking about knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. True knowledge, true understanding, education that can come from studying the Word and listening to the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. See, we need to apply the information that we've received properly. that knowledge, if you don't put it to work, isn't very effective. So you need to take what the Lord has blessed you with, the education that He's given you from His Word, and then put it to work, and put it to work in the proper way. Verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Because when you acquire the knowledge and information and understanding that you have, and you go out here in the world and you start dealing with folks that have none or very little, it's easy to get impatient with them. It's like, why don't you know this? Why don't you understand this? But yet their eyes are darkened. Their eyes are blinded by Satan. So we've got to understand that and know that. When we go out into the world with all the vast education and knowledge and wisdom that the Lord can give us, it's very easy to start puffing yourself up as being something special or being something better or above someone else. But what it's really all about is the Lord has blessed you more than they have received the blessing. So understand that. Go out, be humble, and take that information, take that education that you can receive from studying His Word and listening to the Holy Ghost and apply it in the right way. But do it in a humble way, a patient way when you're dealing with somebody who has not yet received that. When you're dealing with the folks that have been a Christian for a while, but yet they're still babes in Christ and haven't grown much, don't be angry with them. Don't be impatient with them. Gently guide them further and further so they can become more and more mature. When you're dealing with the ungodly out there that have no knowledge or understanding of Jesus Christ at all, don't look down your nose at them. Pity them. Reach out to them. Have compassion on them. Love them and help draw them in to become a Christian so they can acquire the knowledge and understanding of the Lord as well. Such an awesome opportunity that He has given us to apply the things that He has blessed us with in service for Him. So let's do that very thing. Take all the education that we have learned from the Lord and use it properly to draw others in so they can have the opportunity to be a part of the family as well. We'll pick it back up here in 2 Peter next time, but let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. So much that we can learn when we study it. Help us have that burning desire to dig deep into there to find the knowledge that You want us to have and encourage us to go out, apply it in the right way, and to share it with others. Thank You so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.